Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Schmidt List, the podcast for people dedicated to managing successful projects, developing impactful products, and building engaged teams. And now, here's your host, Kurt Schmidt.
Andrea, thank you for joining me on the show today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
So you're at the Women's Foundation. Tell me a little bit about what the Women's Foundation is and what your role is there.
The Women's Foundation is a statewide community foundation focused on gender equity. And I am a development officer there, which means I do fundraising and community building. Very, very lucky to have my job. I love my work there. Yeah. I love the Women's Foundation.
Well, and you're here on International Women's Day, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, kind of a crescendo, right? You know, like everything you do, right?
Right. Well, yes, definitely.
So how did you get to where you're at now? I know you have a background as an events manager and you've done a number of different things, like kind of... What was kind of the journey that led you to where you're at now?
So I think that there's sort of a theme in the work that I've had and the work history that I've had in my career path has been relationship management. Mm-hmm. I started in retail as a sales manager. That's something that I really love to do and did a lot of work to recruit and hire and train really great salespeople. Mm-hmm. And that was recognized in my career. I was sort of the training ground in every store that I was in. Mm-hmm. Folks would take the great people that I had in my department and pull them into other departments. So
steal your people.
Yeah, exactly. And that was recognized and early in my career. And then I went from retail into staffing because I was a really great recruiter.
Yeah.
And in staffing, I worked in both legal, administrative, and eventually in finance and accounting. And then from there, I went into fundraising and development. So sort of this, you know, windy road that led me to what I'm doing today.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So in what did you, early on in your career, you said relationship management, what were some of the things you relied on to, in order to make sure that you were good at relationship management? Was it something natural built in or was it just tried and true? Like I tried this thing and I screwed it up and now I learned not to touch that hot stove again.
That's funny. I think one of the things that's consistent is that I'm very curious. I really enjoy getting to know people. I'm very curious about people's stories. I love listening to every little detail about someone's life and really enjoy getting to know people. So, you know, I was talking with one of your staff when I arrived here this morning, mm-hmm. and I was really curious to know about her job and how she got to be here and, you know, what she does for her work and things like that. And I actually want to know. Mm-hmm. And that's something that makes it easier for me to talk to people, to get to know, you know, when I was in staffing and I was talking to people about their business and getting to know what their needs were and in terms of what they might be looking for to hire people, I would ask questions about, you know, how they named their business and why they chose the product that they have and things like that. And I don't know that other staffing consultants would ask questions the way that I did. Mm-hmm. So those sort of, you know, being genuinely curious about someone, those are things that served me well.
one concept that I've explored over the last few years is this concept of active listening, where you're kind of removing yourself from the conversation and you're focused on the words that somebody else is saying, and you're removing kind of any emotional impact that their words might have. Or is that something that kind of come natural to you because you're just trying to push through the curiosity? You just really want to know, right? So you're not like, you're not necessarily... I find it interesting because I know some people that actually have to really work hard at active listening versus where it comes natural to some folks.
Well, I do think that it's a common thread in terms of the work that I did then and the work that I do now with my donors, mm-hmm. that I do have to remove myself from the conversation a little bit. You know, it is about them. I, of course, have, you know, goals. I have things that I need to get the conversation to. I need to be concerned about strengthening their relationship with our organization. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately starts with them and what their goals are and what they're looking for, what they want to do with their assets and where they want their, you know, how they want their gifts to change the world. That's really what we're getting to. But, you know, so I have to sort of keep this agenda in the back of my mind. But ultimately, you know, they're guiding and steering the conversation as well.
Yeah.
And they're in the driver's seat in a way.
Yeah. And I just recently did an episode on how to sell yourself. And I did it kind of tongue in cheek because it was really about what it came down to is that understanding what value you have to offer somebody and then extracting the value that they're looking for, right? And being able to kind of find ways to pair those things together kind of builds a, you know, builds a good relationship with somebody, right? And especially like when it's the type of work you're doing where people that are donating and giving money to the Women's Foundation are getting a lot of value out of it, but they might not understand it right up front, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to kind of walk them through and explain in their context why this is valuable, right?
My role is really to help them understand what impact their gifts are making, what kind of impact the work of the Women's Foundation is having on the issues that we're trying to change.
Yeah. And so what are some techniques that you found over the years in terms of that networking and an ability to communicate? What are some things that have worked well for you? Things that, is it all just come natural or have you, you know, because
I'm so naturally talented.
That's obvious. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at you going, obviously naturally talented. But I'm guessing there's parts that were challenging and that you felt like you needed to work on and focus on. What are some of those areas that you spent more time trying to get better at with when it came to networking and communicating?
I think that there's a difference between making everyone your friend, which that is the part that comes very naturally to me, is making people feel comfortable, making people feel like I'm someone who's easy to talk to, and then making people feel like I'm someone who knows my stuff.
Yeah.
That's the part that's actually a little bit harder.
Okay.
I remember having a conversation with, you know, a trusted leader about if you ever watch Top Chef, it was the Next Food Network star. They talk about, you know, you can't just describe the food as delicious. Like that's like almost a forbidden word because delicious is not a descriptive word.
It's like saying something is interesting.
Exactly. Exactly. That's that Minnesota nice word.
Right.
That's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's actually, you know, you have to go a little bit deeper and you have to be able to talk about actual flavors and describe texture and give context. Mm. And so that is something.
Paint a picture, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's something that I feel is something that I am constantly working on. Mm. And to be able to describe our work in context of a greater issue and toward a goal for our organization. And so to give an example, our Young Women's Initiative is something that, you know, we're working on in partnership with the governor's office. It's a partnership we have with the state of Minnesota. So to be able to talk about not only are we working on the issues of, you know, trying to change laws in the state so that we can impact, you know, create greater opportunity for young women, but also we're partnering with young women and lifting their voices to a greater level, making sure that young women are participating in the process and in shifting conditions in our state for them, giving young women from all walks of life a voice in the process of changing the state to have better opportunities for everyone. Mm-hmm. So being able to help people understand how we're shifting conditions, how we're making the state a better place for everyone, and how by focusing on young women of color, young women with disabilities, young Native American young women, how by focusing on young women who are experiencing the greatest disparities in our state, mm-hmm. that by lifting up those folks, we'll be able to create greater opportunity for everyone in our state. That's really the way that we're able to let everyone know how our work is impacting everyone.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, it sounds like fun work, though.
It does. And it's something that, you know, like I said, I'm very proud and really, I feel really fortunate to be able to be a part of.
That's cool. So tell me about, if you were to give somebody advice around how to paint a picture better, right? How have you learned to kind of broaden that scope, right? To like, what is there techniques or tricks or things that you've come up with in order to like help you get past and then just saying the generic words, right? To like really focus on that. Is it when you approach the certain person, you're kind of, who is this person and how am I going to paint a picture for them as an individual? Or is it, how do I best communicate this picture to somebody?
No, I think it's definitely individual. It depends on the person that you're talking to, because everyone has different things that they care about and everyone has different sort of triggers and interests, yeah. and things like that. So it's very individualized. Particular people have particular passions.
They do. Very people are particular. But when you were an event manager, I'm guessing a lot of those skills also translated well into what you're doing now, because you're having to kind of wrangle a lot of people and get them to do things, but you can't necessarily tell them what to do, mm-hmm. right? You're not the boss of them necessarily, right? You know, but how have you found best ways to kind of communicate that message and influence? Is it constantly reminding people of the value of what this impact they could have is? Is it showing them what would happen if they weren't involved? Like, what are, you know, like...
Well, I think you're first starting from this idea of a shared or common goal or vision. I mean, that's really important. What are we all here for?
Yeah.
Because, you know, removing yourself again, making sure that it's, you know, it's... I know in every case, it's not about me. Mm. I won at one point in my retail career, a Gumby Award.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
For being the most flexible partner, whatever.
Funny.
It was funny. It was actually like a full,
really?
Like this big plastic Gumby doll. It was almost like a Oscar, so to speak. It was like an Oscar theme at this award ceremony that we had for all of the managers. And I won the Gumby Award. Anyway, and now I don't have that big statue anymore. I don't know what I ever did with that, but I do have, just to remind me, because it was meaningful to me, I have a little tiny plastic Gumby on my desk, but just to remind me. And I think that is a really important trait to remember, to be flexible, and that it is something that is not, you know, just roll with it. It is not about me. It's not, you know, I can remove myself and my ego from this situation and from most situations.
That's interesting.
But anyway, so I think having the ability to remove yourself from the ultimate goal, that mm-hmm. the goal is more important than any individual. And I think that's something that we all sort of need to be reminded of from time to time, everyone on the team, in terms of getting the event or the whatever the project is ultimately done. And then I think communication is really important. Whether, you know, I'm in the role of event manager, I'm usually the sort of, you're the project manager, so to speak. So you're managing a timeline, you're managing budgets, you're managing vendors, you're managing a team of people who are each responsible for some part of getting the event off the ground. I'm rarely the talent. I'm not usually, you know, someone who's going to be in a speaking role during the event. So you may be in that role of, you know, talent management.
Right. Yeah.
You may be someone who is, you know, greeting and wrangling speakers. You know, you may be that person.
Maybe you have somebody that has to go get extra chairs.
Exactly. Or like, you know, some water, or, you know, make sure there's water at the podium, or, you know, whatever. I mean, who knows what you may have to do. But again, removing yourself from all of that, because it is about the ultimate goal. And I like to think of my role as the event manager or project manager of that is to sort of be the person who's creating this container or creating this package for something magical to happen, you know, because the people who are in the audience experiencing that event, you know, whether it's our donors or, you know, in some of the other types of events that I've been involved in, something amazing is going to happen, you know, and I'm I'm so excited for that.
You want to be a part of it.
I want to be a part of that. I do want to be responsible for that. I want to be someone who can say at the end of the day, you know, I helped make that happen. So I'm all on board for it. And, yeah. and I can get out of the way to make sure that that happens.
Sure.
You know,
and what I found talking with lots of, and I do a lot of career coaching and mentoring. And what I find though, is that people have a hard time finding that line between being flexible and being walked over.
Right.
And I think people can confuse the two sometimes, because sometimes when you're being flexible, it can feel like you're being walked over, but maybe you just need to get over yourself. And other times, maybe you feel like you're being flexible, but you are being walked over. Right?
Yes.
You know, how do you balance that? How do you find the way to balance? Is it just years of experience? Is it sort of, you know, you have your, you know, Andrea's compass that has been with her forever? Like, how have you found that balance?
It's not easy. I mean, believe me, I have put forth many an ugly centerpiece. I'm not going to lie. There have been times when I've been like, that is the most hideous thing I've ever seen.
What have I done?
But I do think that, you know, ultimately, again, it's not mine. It's not only mine. Mm-hmm. And I just have to sit back and make sure that the magic happens. And the color of the flowers is not the most important decision that's ever going to be made.
Nobody's going to die.
No one is going to die about that over that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I do think there have been many times that I've put a lot of effort into something that nobody noticed, you know? And so I do think that, you know, it's just important to remember refocus on what that ultimate goal is, mm-hmm. and not worry about like what some of the smaller decisions are.
Yeah.
And if, you know, there have also been times when it was, you know, my first or maybe my second event with an organization, and I felt like every single decision that I put forward was overridden.
Really?
Oh, every single one.
Sure.
And I was like, what am I?
I think
even,
everybody's kind of been
what
in
what am
that.
I even doing here?
Right.
Right. Do they even need me?
Yes. Am I invisible? just walked right through me,
right.
Like I'm a ghost.
Exactly. But then you just sort of refocus on that bigger goal and remind yourself what you're supposed to be doing, and it all comes out fine.
Right. Well, and you were also a part of Giant Steps, which has a real entrepreneur sort of bent to it, right? And
right.
And those folks bring their own challenges. Me being one, I know I bring lots of challenges. And
I could probably wrangle you.
I'm not going to challenge you. I totally believe you. So in that idea of like, let's talk about people with some difficult personalities, right? Where you're trying to work with somebody, you're trying to influence them, you're trying to show them, you know, no, if you just come this way or you just turn a little bit to the right, everybody's going to be in a better spot.
Right.
What are some ways that you found dealing with people with maybe a little bit more challenging personalities in order to help them help themselves? What are some techniques you've used?
I think, so you mentioned, one of the things that you mentioned was, you know, how do you get the vendors to do what they're going to do? And then that, an example comes to mind when you're talking about dealing with the creative folks as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can ask people to meet certain deadlines or meet certain criteria. And I can think about, you know, asking artists about load-in and like meeting those parameters. And I remember, you know, the day of an event having folks, you know, like show up with something that needed to happen. And it was like just completely like coming in the wrong door.
Oh, no.
With the giant thing. And like, you know, just having to ask the venue vendor space people to just roll with, you know, and I was right. like, hey, I'm sorry, this is happening. You're going to have to help me put this up right now. And
the ship has left the dock.
Exactly. Like there's nothing we can do, but just make this happen now.
Yep.
And, you know, we want this to be shown. We want this to be part of the event. You know, you're just going to have to help me make this happen now. Let's just do it. And, you know, ultimately the nice thing that you have in your pocket is you have this sort of positional authority with the vendors that you are ultimately you're going to pay them. So they do sort of have to do what, you know, they have to do what you say in a way. You know, obviously you want a good reputation as an event planner.
You don't want to be a bad client.
In the business. Yeah, you don't want to be a bad client. But at the same time, you know, you are going to pay them for their service. And so, okay, we'll come down with the flatbed and we'll do what we got to do. But but anyway, you know, so yeah, I think, but back to, you know, your question,
sure,
about managing, you know, helping the creative people to, you know, be their best selves. I think, you know, I'm a very, as much as I try to be flexible and I have my little Gumby to remind me,
yeah,
I do think that, you know, I'm just remind people about deadlines and ask them repeatedly and, you know, that sort of thing. And I do have just endless patience and, you know, you can ask 100 times and
yeah,
they're going to do it or they're not. And if they can't do what you ask them to do, then they, you know, ultimately, eventually they can't be part of what you're trying to create.
Yeah.
So
I think that's really interesting what you're saying, because I coach people around the same sort of thing you're saying, right? Is that you can only kind of set expectations and then communicate. You have mm-hmm. to constantly communicate.
So if one of the things that I think is really important around successfully getting this process done and making sure that the event is successful, making sure that you're getting input from everyone that's involved in the project mm-hmm. or in the event is feeling like they're part of the process is communication. And so communicating, reporting up, making sure that everyone in the team feels like their work is moving forward, that everyone is on the same page. So there's a few ways that I've seen that work really well. One is like, you know, verbal check-ins, whether it's like, you know, the entire, like at the foundation, we do a morning check-in where the whole team, anyone mm-hmm. who's there in the morning, you know, does
so it's pretty regular,
like a
right?
stand up meeting.
Yeah,
we do like
twice
a week in the morning. And, you know, that's something that, you know, as we get a little closer to the event, we would all check in a little mm-hmm. bit on what's going on with the event. We also do regular report outs to the leadership team about how the work is moving forward. We also have a workflow. I'm trying to think of what the word is, like a
roadmap kind of.
Yeah. How do we, it's
a Gantt chart.
A particular name for it. Yeah. It'll come to me.
Okay.
And that's a way that we talk about, you know, how the work is processing. Cause there's like timelines on it and
sure.
that sort of thing. And anyway, so there's a lot of different ways that you can communicate like the process and making sure that people know what's happening and how work is moving forward.
Right.
But a really important thing that I think happens after the event is the debrief. And so we always schedule that. I have always scheduled that before the event happens. Like we know when that debrief is happening, like whether it's the next day, if it's, you know, what week within the week, but you know, if the event's on a Friday, then the debrief happens Monday, like as soon as possible, as you're all back in the office after the event.
And everything's
happens.
Fresh in your head.
Exactly. You know, with Giant Steps, I think Susan scheduled it like, you know, within a week mm-hmm. of the event. And you can do this a variety of ways. We've been using the fourness model at the mm-hmm. foundation, you know, what I wish for, what I think went well. And, you know, I've seen the, you know, plus and delta, or, you know, what worked, what we want to keep, what we want to improve, you know, there's a variety of different ways that you can do it. But what I think is really magical about this is you see team members recognizing each other. They say like, oh my gosh, Kurt did this awesome thing at the event. Like, oh, I saw this happen. Or like they're lifting each other up and, mm-hmm. and recognizing each other. I love that. You see people saying like, oh my gosh, we can never have that color flowers again. No, I don't mean to bring that up again. That's always, not a sore spot.
It's always the damn flowers. It's always the flowers.
It's always the flowers. But yeah. There's, you know, you see people saying things about like things that they really, truly can't have again, like mistakes. But you also yeah. see, you know, things where we, you know, if there's any way that we drop the ball or that we really need something we missed. And then you also see the thing that I really look for are what is truly, truly important to the leadership. If there's something that I missed, like did I not know that one of our executives thinks this is something that's super important and I didn't know it?
Yeah.
That's something that I'm listening for and paying attention to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I found that that kind of postmortem technique, here's where I found the value in it, and you tell me if you also see the value in it, is that because during the event or during the time when that big thing is happening, if people know that the space has been created on the other side of it for them to vent or complain about things, they can really focus better on the event instead of stopping what they're doing and saying, does anybody else see what I'm seeing? Like, they can file it away and know that they can have that time and that space to express that in the future. That have you seen that?
Absolutely true. Yes. And they know that there's a, that there's a provided space, but also a safe space. Like, it's okay for you to say.
It's meant for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to say something went terribly wrong, or it's okay for you to lift up something that went amazing. So either is absolutely welcome. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Really important to the process.
Yeah, because, you know, I've also done that same technique kind of upfront before projects where we talk about what could go wrong and what are some things. Because, again, a lot of times everybody's very excited. We're planning all the fun stuff that's going to happen. And we're talking through all the great time we're going to have and all the, oh, this year we're going to have, you know, but also talking through some of the things that could go wrong, I found to be very important. And I've had feedback from other people. They're like, why are we focusing on this negative stuff? Like,
because you need to anticipate that.
Yeah.
You need to plan for the worst.
And you should
have a plan B and C.
Right. And you should do it as a group because you, even though maybe you're the event manager, maybe you can't think of everything, right?
No, absolutely.
And so you've got all these people around you. Like, I've done this before too with vendors where I've said, like, what are some typical things that you've seen gone wrong with projects like this? Mm-hmm. And asking them to say, well, you know, sometimes the stakeholder isn't totally involved in there. They disappear mid whatever project or whatever, and or we've seen this, and I'm like, oh, these are good things to know. Mm-hmm. You know,
absolutely. I do like to go through, you know, when you go through ahead of time, like you have all your scripts prepared and you have your agendas prepared and you know what to expect from the vendor and you have your show flow and all of those things are ready, going through it with every member of the team and just ask, like, I will ask point blank, you know, what's missing, is there anything that we're overlooking, just making sure that, because I'm not going to remember every single thing. So, you know, I like those. Right. And then sometimes I might even ask a friend, you know, someone outside of the organization who I know does a lot of this type of work, to put their eyes on it as well, because mm-hmm. they may think of something I haven't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, I think that's where I've seen some folks stumble, is that some people think that they have to have all the answers. That's why they're getting paid. That's why they have the job, right? And all that sort of thing. I mean, I think it's, do you think that comes from inexperience or more insecurity? Like, what, you know, I know myself, like, it just took me years of doing the job or beating my head against the wall to kind of get around it. But maybe it's something more, it comes more naturally to other folks.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I do think that comes back to the ego question issue we were talking about earlier, that, you know, you have to remember what the big picture is and get yourself out of the way.
Yeah, I like that thought. Well, so we're out of time, Andrea. So I know that the Women's Foundation is not necessarily like a place where I go and volunteer and whatnot, but I can contribute to the good that it does in the world. Where are some places that I can find out more about how I can contribute to what the Women's Foundation mission is?
We have an incredible website, WFMN.org, and people can find out more information about the work that we're doing. They can find me on the website, and please reach out to me, and I would be happy to have a conversation with anyone who's interested in learning more about our work.
That's great. Great. Well, I want to wish you a happy International Women's Day.
Thank
this
you.
Is very
you
exciting. Too. And thank you so much for joining me. I will have links to all the things on the show and the blog page and everything, so people can find more about Andrea's awesome Women's Foundation and the work that they're doing over there. So thank you again for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Schmidt List. If you want to learn more about how Foundry accelerates innovation, check out foundrymakes.com. And if you'd like me to speak about establishing a growth mindset at your conference or with your team, drop me a note at kurt@foundrymakes.com. Oh, and the next time you're on the internet, head to iTunes and leave the show a review. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, because sharing is caring. I truly appreciate you taking the time to listen to the show, and I hope you have a fantastic week.